Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. Well, today is the 12th of July, the glorious 12th, as is known to some. And that's the day that the Orange Order have as the zenith of their year, marching in Northern Ireland and elsewhere to celebrate the Battle of the Boyne, fought in 1690. There's at least one annual march in the Republic of Ireland, Rosnola, in County Donegal. And that's where Tony Blair spent a lot of summer holidays as a child. But don't let that put you off. I mean, Rosnola is still a decent place. And until the 1930s, occasionally, even in Dublin. So I'm from Cork, but the Orange Order hasn't been active there for like well over a century. There is someone who studied this about Orange Lodge's abandoned buildings in places like Bandon, even in the west of Ireland. The thing about the Orange Order is open to Protestants only. And then they sort of take an oath to the monarch of the United Kingdom, saying they'll be loyal to the British royal family so long as they're Protestant. Supposing the House of Windsor were to cross the Tiber and become Catholics, the Orange Order no longer follow them. So they, you know, drinking oath to the glorious and immortal memory of William of Orange, also known as William III. So this was highly contentious in my adolescence. A lot of rioting, particularly in Portadown, about the Orange Order marching up and down the Garvachy Road. So the Orange Order was once a puissant organization. If you go back about a century, 50% of men, Protestant men in Northern Ireland, were members of it, is now under 10% of Protestant males are members of it. They're Orange women as well. So the Orange Order seems to have difficulty getting people to join. So as a religious organization with a sort of political aspect, though it didn't align itself to a particular party, the Unionist Party, the DUP, or whatever. But however, its members would vote for one of the Unionist parties in most cases. Maybe some of the old days, the Northern Ireland Labour Party. But the Ulster Unionist Council, which is the governing body of the Ulster Unionist Party, it had some members on that were ex officio members of the Orange Order. So the Orange Order had some indirect say in the Ulster Unionist Party. The Ulster Unionist Party was obviously the major Unionist Party in Northern Ireland until about 10 years ago, when it's overtaken by the DUP. The DUP doesn't look like it's going to be pushed out by them anytime soon. I cannot for the life of me understand why the Ulster Unionist Party and the DUP don't merge, as there are no significant differences on policy. They should just amalgamate. Anyway, so some people dislike the Orange Order, say it's sectarian. The Orange Order say, you know, we're for Protestantism, we're not against Catholicism. But there are Orangemen who've said sectarian things and so on, and some loyalist terrorists have been allowed to join. So the Orange Order doesn't allow fundraising for loyalist terrorist organizations. It was a separate one, the Independent Orange Order, which did allow fundraising for terrorist organizations. It's obviously illegal. So there we are. So the Orange Order, well, there's a dispute about its lineage, but possibly 1795, that clash at Loch Gall, County Armagh. And is it Dan Winter and James, I can't remember, Wilson, who founded it? Because there are all sorts of these agrarian armed groups. Some were Catholics only, some were Protestants only, some were mixed denomination, fighting there about who was going to be able to rent or own this land and blah blah blah. Remember, Ireland was a kingdom at the time, so it traces its lineage back to that Dan Winter's cottage. But these were secret societies, and there were several competing organizations with the word Orange in the name. And the Orange Order is actually even briefly outlawed in the 1820s. So the story of the Orange Order is not as straightforward as many people think. When it came to the Act of Union in 1800, the Orange Order opposed it. Partly on the basis that it was meant to come with Catholic emancipation. Remember, the Catholic majority in Ireland were discriminated against by law in the 18th century and up until 1829. And actually, although yes, the Act of Union was passed, so Ireland, we united with Great Britain, but Catholic emancipation wasn't passed till 1829. And the Orange Order was initially for members of the Church of Ireland only, and then it broadened out into all Protestants, as in Methodists, Presbyterians, Baptists, and so forth. So it was a very cross-class organization. It was kind of quite upper working class, as in strong farmers, tenant farmers, the very poorest people, like laborers or whatever. They often couldn't afford to join because you had to pay your membership dues. And in the 18th century, you have to remember just how dirt poor most people were. But by the end of the 19th century, it had largely been taken over by the upper class, and the grand masters or whatever, the highest positions, often went to aristocrats, but not always. And so this was a very class stratified society. So it was a real thrill for a working class person if sometimes in the Orange Order's pecking order, he was above someone who's actually an aristocrat by being whatever. Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Ireland. It's still called Grand Lodge of Ireland, even though the headquarters is in Belfast. What else? The qualification of the Orangemen is how they're to behave, as in to refrain from any uncharitable references to their Roman Catholic brethren. But that's not always the case, and not to attend any Catholic worship. Now, David Trimble, who's leader of the LCNS party, he was the first man to be First Minister of Northern Ireland. He attended the funeral of a Catholic child who was murdered in the Omagh bombing. And by going to that Catholic mass at Buncrana, was he not expelled from the organisation? There's obviously far less heat about their marches. And I've observed many, many of these marches. I don't object to it at all. I'm not eligible for membership, seeing as I'm not a Protestant. They allowed converts to join the Orange Order, and one of them even rose to a very high office in it. So the Orange Order is all over the world, but it's mostly Northern Ireland, and there is a lodge in Dublin, a physical lodge, but they don't actually call it the Orange Lodge for fear of sectarian attacks. And obviously it's in Great Britain, but particularly Scotland and the Liverpool area. Apparently there are Orange marches in London. I've never seen one. There was an Orange march in Oxford about 40 years ago. And they're in the USA, Canada, but very, very few people. In Togo, I can't think. Someone told me the Maldives Islands, there was an Orange Lodge there. So it's quite big in Canada, the foundation of Canada. Sir John A. Macdonald, the first Prime Minister of Canada, was an Orangeman. Australia, New Zealand, and so forth. But it's not huge. You know, the Orangemen are in their tens of thousands around the world. There are other similar loyal orders like the Apprentice Boys of Derry. But to be in that, they had to be sworn in within the walls of the Maiden City. There was the Royal Black Preceptory and the Royal Purple Arch, which are similar organizations. So a bit like Friendly Societies, was a charity that the charities made it themselves, paying into it, and then we'll help you out. We'll look after you if you're unemployed, if you're injured at work, if you die, to give money to your widow and children. So that's before the welfare state, this sort of thing came along. And they're often based around church groups, and there were Catholic equivalents of it, like the Irish National Foresters, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, and so forth. So that is the Orange Order. There used to be riots to try and stop people doing what they want. Now, I believe in freedom of association and the right to demonstrate for something, against something, to say what you want, say it where you want, even when people don't want to hear it or see it. Tough. This is what a free society is, that sometimes you're going to hear or see things that you find offensive. And that's what a free society is. So you say your bit, somebody else will say their bit. And, you know, people blocking roads and rioting and attempting to murder the police and so on, absolutely outrageous. If you don't want to see this Orange Order pass, just stay in, watch telly. They'll be gone in 5 minutes. But creating such a hullabaloo attracts more people. Unfortunately, there were some deeply unsavory characters like Mad Dog Johnny Adair, this appalling ogre loyalist terrorist who was hanging around the Garvaghy Road protesters. So far as I know, he's actually never an Orangeman. But unfortunately, what the media do, they speak to the most imbecilic, knuckle-dragging person and try and suggest that typifies the Orange Order. And obviously, there are a few bad Orangemen, given it's got tens of thousands of members. I'm afraid you'd have to expect that. But most of them are definitely not like that. So I've been friends with Orangemen. I've told them, you know, I'm a Catholic and from Cork, and they've been absolutely fine with it. Admittedly, the Orangemen I met often at Oxford were not probably your average Orangemen. So that is the Orange Order. Fascinating, adds to the gaiety of Ireland. And I know some people abominate the Orange Order, but it's a shadow of its former self. It's decreasing and decreasing. It used to be sine qua non to get somewhere in unionist politics, if you're a member of it. I remember the only unionist, Ulster Unionist MP, certainly, who were never members of it, was it Robert McCartney, and was it Lady Sylvia Herman, in the days when women couldn't join? And of course, from Sir Dennis Henry, this Catholic unionist, always been Catholic members of the Legislative Assembly, have not been members of it. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Toodle pip, everyone.